When a company's culture collapses, the whole business is soon to follow. My guest today watched her company culture deteriorate, but she righted the ship and made her business better than ever. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO. All made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Jessica Ma was born with a competitive streak. She's the daughter of two successful entrepreneurs and knew from a young age she wanted to run her own business. At just 19, Jessica co-founded Indinero, which provides accounting and tax support to small businesses. She's still only 27, but has already grown the company to a nine-figure valuation. Jessica is also the founder and chairman of Impact Collective, a network of CEOs, nonprofits, and thought leaders dedicated to making a positive impact on the world. Jessica attended Harvard Business School's President's Program and graduated from Y Combinator. She was named to the 30 Under 30 lists of both Forbes and Inc., in addition to being featured on the cover of Inc. magazine. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little about your background. You're probably one of the most interesting guests that we've had from a background standpoint, because you're a minority, you're a woman, and you're under the age of 30. And here you are running a business that is of significant size, 200 people, and hundreds of millions of dollars of value. Does that give you pause in that environment, or are those assets?
I think that my age and gender and all that stuff, it's actually a huge asset. I get a lot of strength from it. I think it's incredible. And I think a lot of people want to help me. And I don't at all see it as a disadvantage.
A couple of years ago, you had an offer on the table. And your share was a substantial amount that you would have walked away with. And you said no. So take me through that process.
I've had this come up twice now, I'd say. Just having people fish around to see if we'd be willing to sell them the business. And so I'd take a few meetings and try to see how far I'd get, just to understand how I would feel if I actually went through the process. And going through that made me realize it wasn't going to be interesting to me at all, because I like what I do and I want to take on this industry. I'm having a lot of fun.
So to be 27 years old and already in a place where you've built a company that has values in the top 0.1 of 1% of companies that have ever built, how do you look towards the next 30 years and go, here's all the things I can do? Help me understand the perspective.
I wasn't sure what to do about that, actually. So I took a meeting with one of my early mentors, Brian Chesky, who's the CEO of Airbnb. And I told him that I wanted to build a multi-billion dollar business, but I didn't really see how I could get there. And he reinforced to me that if there's a will, there's a way. And I'm just not thinking big enough. I got to go back, take some time out of the day-to-day of my company and start to dream bigger and build out a vision worksheet. And that's what I did. I started thinking and dreaming, here are all the opportunities for where we could go. Accounting and tax could be the starting point, and then we could sell all these other things too. After I started thinking about it that way, I then had so much more motivation to go back into my business and create more value.
What challenges do you think you've overcome from a personnel standpoint? Working with people. So at the size company at 200 employees now, you're having to take on a role, A, that you haven't been used to, and B, that they're not used to having somebody who's significantly younger than them direct them. So how have you overcome that?
I think YPO has actually been super helpful for me, because when I came into YPO, I didn't have the confidence to recruit high-end executives who were more impressive, more experienced, and just frankly, better at their jobs than I was. I thought it'd be an embarrassment to hire people better than me at the time. And through YPO, I admitted this to my forum. I talked about it a lot, and I just got over that pretty quickly. And I'd say that never comes up. No one in my company says, oh man, Jessica Ma is so young and immature. That's just not a factor. Now they might say, all right, Jessica Ma is young, and so the business is going to lack some finesse in certain areas. And so what I did to combat that was, I hired a chief operating officer. I hired a super experienced chief financial officer who've actually run companies before. And I gave them the keys to the kingdom. They run the all hands meetings. They run all the leadership team meetings. So it's as if my COO is really the CEO and I'm more like chairman, owner, shareholder, whatever you want to call it. And things run a lot better now.
So where do you focus your energy aside from the M&A?
I work on vision, strategy, culture, how to finance all the deal making we're doing. Someone's got to pay the bills. And I get to step back out of the day-to-day and really think about those things. Whereas if I were operating all the time, if I had all these one-on-ones and I was just fighting fires all day long, which is what I used to do, that's what I thought CEOs were supposed to do, I wasn't actually doing my job.
So if the company's on track to move its own growth, what's the role for Jessica Ma 10, 15 years from now? Who is she in the world at that point?
I think 10, 15 years from now, I could be even further up the food chain here. Like, I'm trying to think through if I'm going to be like a Jeff Bezos or a Warren Buffett. Like, neither of them manage any of the core businesses within their empires. And that's where I want to get to. And so I'm just trying to work backwards from there.
So you see multiple companies and a large group of companies that you're creating? Or is it more on the investment side where you're dabbling a little here or there?
I know it's going to be multiple businesses in an era. It's an awesome business, and I want to really focus on this for a while, but we're going to have other companies, and it's all going to roll up into one big central enterprise.
I think it's interesting, since some of the work that you're doing at Indonero now is focused on acquisition. So I'm interested in knowing, what's the process that you're going through when you're deciding if a company is right for acquisition?
I think the main thing I'm looking for, first and foremost, is it going to be a right culture fit? Do I like the person? And that's the starting point.
Now, small business accounting is fairly finite. It's regulated. It's a fairly structured system. So how much variation is there in cultures of the companies that you're looking at?
There's quite a bit of variation, actually, which is interesting. And all of it's driven by the founder. Like, when you meet the founder, and when you meet their spouse, you kind of have a general idea for what the rest of the business is going to be like. And whatever you guess it's going to be like based on hanging out with them, that's usually how it is.
Give me an example of when you met the people who were running the company and you immediately knew that this was just not going to work.
I've had a few instances where that's happened, where I meet the person and they're just not a very nice person. And you walk through the office and you think, oh my God, this is going to be a total failure.
But don't you feel like you want to be a savior for the people that are working for him?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You don't need his headaches, or maybe they're the reason he's not so nice.
Yeah, exactly.
What are the biggest personal challenges you're working on now?
I have so many personal challenges, Kevin. I'd say one of the biggest ones right now is my impatience. I'm in such a rush to get things done.
And yet you have so much time ahead of you.
I know.
There's a little bit of irony there.
There's a lot of irony there. But you also have to think about it from another perspective, which is, if I didn't have that impatience, where would I be today? I probably wouldn't have started my company when I did. I'd take a normal job. I'd take my time. And I don't think I would have enjoyed that. So all the things that I use to get me to where I am today, being impatient being probably the biggest thing that led me to starting the business as young as I did.
You find now that while that impatience launched you, that actually capitalizing on the success is going to require to manage that impatience.
Absolutely.
What are you doing to do that?
I'm talking to my therapist, talking to my performance sports psychologist. I'm talking to my executive coach. I'm talking to my forum about this. I'm talking to everyone I can possibly talk to about all of my personal weaknesses, or at least the weaknesses I perceive, and I really hope that my friends and my loved ones point out other observations in me. I actually really invite critical feedback, and I try to bring that up as much as possible.
Does it feel uncomfortable to get that feedback?
It feels liberating to get the feedback, because then I know I could do something about it.
All right, it's time for the rapid fire questions. Jessica, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What do you do for self-development?
Name three of your personal core values.
Perseverance, impact, unconditional love.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos.
What did you learn from Tony?
It's more about just watching him at work, how he treats his people, how he makes sure that they have a fun time. He's really inspired me.
What is your favorite business book?
Principles by Ray Dalio.
What are you reading right now?
What Happened by Hillary Clinton.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Patience.
You keep working on that.
Yes.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Inability to delegate.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Reflect every day at the end of the day on the mistakes you made.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Outside of the box thinking.
What's your strangest daily habit?
At the end of the day, every day, I write down all the things I was grateful for, no matter how bad the day was.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Publicly talk about how great they were.
Well, I'm glad we had the chance to publicly talk about how great you are, Jessica. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Great to be here.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Won Kim, who will share his transformation from meek Korean son to bold CEO of a top American brand. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.